Welcome to the Realizing Genius podcast. I'm your host, Heidi Christensen. This is where we dive in each week to chat about parenting, education, and realizing our children's genius. I'm an educator with a background in individualizing learning, and I'm obsessed with helping people find and nurture that genius in their children and themselves. Let's dive in. Hi, Heidi Christensen here with the Realizing Genius podcast. Today, I am so grateful that Carrie Fairchild is here to talk to me. And Carrie, I asked Carrie to be on my podcast right at the beginning because she has been with me since the beginning. Yeah, she has just helped me realize my genius, and I've seen her realize hers and nurture it in others. And so I just really am so grateful to you, Carrie, for being willing to be a guinea pig for me and help me in this new beginning for me as well. So I remember the first time I heard about genius, and that was with the Thomas Jefferson Education, Leadership Education movement. Didn't we go to a Thomas Jefferson Education? Was it in a face-to-face with greatness, isn't it?
I remember first was that the charter school we both had our kids enrolled in put on like a little workshop thing introducing the idea of Thomas Jefferson Education. And I went to it, and I'm guessing you were there too, but I had gone with another friend. And I remember like the heavens opened up when I heard the angels sing. I was like, oh my gosh, this is what I needed to hear. And we got in the car. I got in the car afterwards with my friend, and she was like, that was weird. What were they even talking about? And I was like, what? You obviously did not hear what I heard. And so that's kind of where it started for me, is I needed to know more after that little introduction. It was a very quick 1 hour introduction to Thomas Jefferson Education.
Okay. I must have been there too. And then after that, we went to the day long thing.
Yes. Then we started looking at some of the other stuff that they were offering down in Southern California.
Yeah. Yeah. I was the same way though. I was like, oh my gosh, where has this been all of my life?
Yes.
So I'm sure we connected because of that, because we both felt like really the heavens opened up. One of the things in the Thomas Jefferson Education book by Oliver DeMille that really spoke to me was this quote. It's, every person you have ever met is a genius. Everyone. Some of us have chosen not to develop it, but it is there. It is in us, all of us. You live in a world of geniuses. How can we settle for anything less than the best education? How can we tell our children that mediocre education will do when greatness is available?
I love that quote.
I do too. That was like transformative for me. When I read that, that made me want to change how I did everything.
I mean, we all think our kids are amazing, right? I mean, just personally, it validates your own feelings towards your children, but helps you open up your view. Now you look at everybody that way. You look at every person that you meet as a genius. And for me, just this is me, I like to get to know them. I like to kind of pick at it a little bit and find out, okay, I want to see that genius. I want to ask the questions and push on them a little so that they will give that so I can see that passion that they have or that excitement they have for whatever their genius is.
Yeah. What is your definition of genius?
So for a long time, it was kind of an abstract idea. But then when I started teaching the idea of genius, I had to come up with a definition. So my definition is the innate or God-given set of gifts, talents, abilities, and passion that give a person their unique and individual purpose.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I have a phrase that I use, and it's called the genius paradigm. And it's, You definitely have it. You see that genius in people. How is seeing genius in others helpful? Especially because you're in education as well. So how is that helpful when you're seeing kids and teachers?
Well, especially working with teenagers, which I've worked with teenagers for years now, the behavior that you're seeing is often masking something else. So having a genius paradigm allows you to push aside that behavior, or ignore that behavior or deal with that behavior, but then go deeper and find out there's something else in there. There's more in there. There is a genius behind this, but you know, everybody's life situation is different. Their circumstances are different. And sometimes their behaviors mask the good that is in that kid, the amazingness that is in that child. And so as long as I can get past that and keep asking the questions and keep pushing them until I can find it, it makes everything easier. And then once that, during that process, that's a relationship building process. And when they know you care, then you know, then you can teach them. And so for me and my genius, that's how it goes, is I push past and find those good things. And sometimes it's hard. It's really hard. And it's the same with adults too. They're difficult people always. And if you can put that to the side and look for the genius, it brings much more positivity and goodness to that relationship.
Oh, I love that. And now, just for some background for our listeners, Carrie and I helped start a homeschool group, a homeschool community that you actually named Genius.
I did.
You want to share with that? That was an acronym. So what did it stand for?
Oh, it was an acronym for Genius. It's guiding, educating, nurturing, unique, and into, and inspiring. Oh, now I forgot. Inspiring. Yes. Unique scholars.
Yeah.
And yeah, unique scholars. Yes.
Yeah.
That just said our mission. Our mission was our statement, or our title of our Commonwealth was our mission.
Yeah.
Was to guide and educate and nurturing and inspiring unique scholars.
Yeah. I loved that. And everybody that belonged to it was funny because so many people weren't sure about joining because they didn't think their kids were geniuses. Do you remember that?
It's because they had a different view of what a genius was.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that is very prevalent. People don't understand that everyone is a genius. Everyone has that innate gift, God-given gift, that our group, using that genius paradigm, was trying to nurture and bring out in each of these, in every person, the kids and the adults. Did you have any challenging students, either in Genius or after, that you were able to use this genius paradigm and help? Is there any like story that you could share?
At Genius, it wasn't, everybody was kind of going the same direction. And so I didn't find as much challenge. Some of the challenge for me then was my own ability to teach. I hadn't learned much about teaching and classroom management, for lack of a better term, but kind of managing your group and, yeah, you know, things like that. When I went on to Highland, I created a charter school at Highland. And so there I had more public school students, for instance, for lack of a better term, that I worked with. And there was one kid, his name was Anthony, and he got in trouble all the time. He was late all the time. He got in trouble behaviorally all the time. And he was always in trouble. And so we were trying to figure out how to help this kid. And one day I walked into his history classroom and I was standing there looking at, you know, how the teachers will put stuff on the wall. There was a drawing of, I'm going to have to think of the name now. Jackie Robinson. Black baseball player. Yes. And this was an African-American child. And he had done a pencil sketch of Jackie Robinson. That was amazing. You would have never known that this sixth grade, seventh grade student had drawn it. And so I went and I looked at it and then I saw whose name was on it. And I was completely shocked because this is a troublesome child, right? And so I went back to the principal and the teacher and I said, look, this kid is an artist. And we started coming at him from that view. We asked him to take on a couple of projects for us to help with it, to encourage his art. He drew a flyer or something. And then we put him into art class, which he was being kept from because of his discipline issues. And we saw the kid turn around completely, completely. By the time he left, first of all, we weren't sure he was going to promote from eighth grade to ninth grade. By the time he left, he was doing very well. Still not an excellent scholar, but he was passing and he was doing what he was supposed to be doing. His behavior completely changed and his attitude changed. And part of that is because all of a sudden we could see the amazing thing that was in the kid. And by showing it to him, like, we needed to mirror it for him. He couldn't see it. He had been in trouble for so long. He couldn't see his amazingness. And so that was a huge, huge deal. He was a good kid. made me laugh.
Oh, that is so awesome. I love hearing stories like that. You mentioned how you went from our homeschool group to starting a charter school.
Yes.
How did you get involved with that? And why were you asked to get involved with that?
Well, like all great things that happen, it kind of happened on accident. I didn't set out to be involved that way, but I had been at Genius for years. I served in several board positions. I served on the founding, when we did our founding documents. So I knew how to write the Constitution, all these things that had come up. I had mentored classes and all kinds of things. I wrote curriculum. And so I had a friend whose husband had just gotten laid off from the school district because California was having a hard time with their budget. And he had said, maybe I should just start my own school. And so my friend came to me and said, you homeschool, you started a group. Would you be interested in hearing what his ideas were? And I was like, sure, I'll join his group, not thinking anything of it. And it ended up like 10 of us sitting on his living room floor, throwing out ideas. And because I got to speak, I was like the first one to say, let's not do it like normal. Let's not have set curriculum. I mean, we still have state standards to meet, but do we have to have a box of curriculum and stay on script? No. Let these teachers teach what they are passionate about. Let's see the genius in our teachers so that we can reflect it to our students. And so it took us 4 years. Finally, we had a school site and butts in the seat. And I served as the board president during that time as we were getting started. And then later I resigned so that I could work there. And that was an amazing experience. It was a very small school and I have moved on, which I think part of your genius is change happens and you move on. And that's kind of sad. It's sad because there's good things that are behind you, but I think it's inevitable. It's part of the genius process, you know, it's to, because you got inspired, because there are amazing people in your life, you move on so you can share it and keep growing.
Yeah,
that's how we started the charter school. It is still in existence today. It was the first charter school in Beaumont, California. And that's, I'm really proud of that. Yes. And we took on our motto, the motto of find your genius. And that is kind of what is the overarching thing. We have a very individualized school where they really work with individual kids to figure out where their genius is and then give them the opportunity to lead, to develop those skills, and in some cases, push them into ways we think they should go because they just don't believe it themselves yet.
Yeah.
That's how I got there.
That's awesome. How did the teachers grow to understand this whole genius idea? That's not something that's taught in...
No. In a lot of cases, there are teachers who want it and they don't have names for it. They want that relationship with their students. They want to impart their passion. But because of the way that the school system is, that they kind of get put in a box and they don't like it. So when we started interviewing teachers, often we were interviewing teachers who wanted out of the box. They knew they were looking for something else. And in the interviewing process, we kind of made it known. I was like, you know, you're going to write your own curriculum. Nobody's going to hand you something and say, here you go, read this script. And many of them were excited about it. And part of the interview process also was to see their passion. If they've lost their passion for education or for their subject, they weren't for our school. We needed somebody who was excited. One woman in particular, I remember interviewing her. We asked her how she felt about middle schoolers because we had a middle school. And she looked a little sheepish from it. And then she said, I love middle schoolers. And I was like, you are hired because not everybody does. And she was willing to dance on a desk if that's what was necessary to get their attention and get them excited about things. And so finding their passion, some of them already knew, some of them weren't sure yet, but at the beginning of every year, I would do a presentation on finding your genius and introduce the idea. And this is what we're going for. And then throughout the year, we would do various things. We had an event called Find Your Genius Night, and we displayed all the art the kids did. And there was the dance team put on a little dance routine and all kinds of things to showcase the talents and the abilities of the kids. And most of those things were kid-led. Most of them, the kids were doing the emceeing or leading, and the adults were behind, just kind of guiding along we did a lot to be kid-led and allow the kids to kind of dictate the direction that things went. And that is a big deal. That changes a lot of things. When they get to have some ownership of it, they get really excited.
Yeah.
And so our teachers got on board. Also, I would mention our principal was very on board. And he has a leadership style that brings out the best in people. And because of him, he was willing to have personal relationships with all these teachers and bring out the best in them. They wanted to do what he wanted because he was a good leader. And that's how the school culture kind of happened. And people who couldn't get behind it didn't last long. They did. Yeah. It takes honesty with yourself to find your own genius. And if they couldn't do it and they weren't willing to be honest with themselves, it was hard for them to stay.
Yeah, it would end up being uncomfortable.
Yes, very.
Yeah, yeah.
And they couldn't understand why admin didn't act a certain way or behave a certain way that was normal, right? we were peculiar in that sense.
Yeah, no, I definitely understand that point of view. And your principal, he's no longer the principal there, but he's an amazing man. I know him as well. He's actually even spoken for my conference. Love him. So he actually talked about how to find genius in kids. And so it was, in some ways, I felt like, okay, I wish I had lived in Beaumont so I would have a school that I would feel comfortable sending my kid to, because yeah, it was an amazing school that you helped build. So
even though I thought the same thing, but we needed the experience at Genius Commonwealth in order for me to be able to have the confidence to go and build Highland. And by the time Highland was ready, my kids were too old. And I think your kids were mostly too.
Yeah, it just would have been my youngest. And there's no way I would have given up homeschooling him, but you know, just having options.
Yeah.
And schools in my area are not options at all. So
no.
Yeah, I actually visited your school when I was getting my credential, and your teachers there were amazing. And the kids were so engaged, and you could just tell everybody there just could see beyond the problems and were trying to see the genius in every child. So yeah, that was amazing. And that's something that I know you feel good about what you did with that school, but I'm just so proud of you. And I'm so excited that I could see you go through that and witness that. That was just an amazing adventure for you that I got to kind of tag along and watch happen to you. So that was cool.
Thank you.
Now, you mentioned that your own kids were too old for this school. Why did you feel like you needed to do this school? I mean, you didn't have to do this school. What kind of pushed you to do this?
Like I said, a lot of things just kind of happen and you just kind of roll with it. I feel like, at least when I started, I felt like I had some good ideas to supply. I didn't know where it was going to take me. And so I was happy to supply some ideas. But as we went along, it became clear that this was important for me to do, and that we can call it a calling or whatever you want to call it, but it was something that was very important for me to do. And it was important for me to impart what I had learned and this genius paradigm to these people, but also education is, I don't know what else to call it. So my personal genius includes a lot of education components that I didn't even know were important to me when I started. I was more focused on relationships and strengthening families and things like that. But the way that I have been directed, all my family strengthening is a road to education. And so I kind of followed it. And then we get in there a little ways. And pretty soon I was back in college because that's what I needed to do. And after I finished my bachelor's, I thought, I am never doing that again. And 3 months later, I enrolled myself in a master's program. So it's just one of those things you just keep, if you listen to that inner voice, that push from your genius, you just know what the right thing is. And it was the right thing to do. And what came out of it is really amazing. And those are 4 years of forming it, 5 years of working there are some wonderful years in my life. Wonderful.
That is awesome. Well, I know you have gone forward and are still using your genius in other ways. And I look forward to seeing how you use your genius going forward. We have to keep connected and see what you end up doing, because it's exciting to think about you spreading that idea of that genius paradigm. It just makes me feel good. So
thank you. I think it becomes, if you keep practicing, it becomes part of you and you don't have to think about it. Like, I don't think about finding people's genius, but that's what I'm doing when I'm forming those relationships. And so even though it seems overwhelming, you got to keep practicing.
That is true. That is so true. Well, Carrie, thank you so much for being on my podcast. I love you. I am so grateful to you for being an example of genius in my life and my kids' lives. So thank you.
You are very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for tuning into another episode of the Realizing Genius podcast. Head over to realizinggenius.com/podcast for all the show notes and links, and to share your ideas of anyone you would like to have me interview. Have a wonderful week realizing your genius.